try the one. I touched it. That's the mute. That's muted. I can check. That's a muted.
Good morning. Lovely day to come to church. You will find a red pad on your pew. Please sign in on that so that we can document your attendance. Thank you. Okay, now for the announcements. Happy birthday, Carol Pastilli, Sharon Kelsey, Phillips Wong, thank you. Lorraine Popejoy, happy birthday. If you're a February baby, okay, went on. All right. You're a February baby, and this is just for you. Though hearts and flowers line the street, your day is special too. We're sending you our blessings that the years will find you strong. And in this month of love and caring, we are passing ours along. So aren't we supposed to sing happy birthday or something? All right, let's go.
Why not?
Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear everyone. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, that sounds good. We're not going to do it again, though. It sounds good enough. Amen. All right. The February newsletter is available in the Narnex. Please contact the office if you have email and can read it online, or if you can get one in the mail but can pick it up at the church instead. Lorraine Munoz is heading up the fundraising effort to cover the $5,000, Hey, I'm trying to be an optimist. $5,000 cost of our new gas stove, grill, oven, and a fellowship hall kitchen. If you can help, make a donation and put stove on the memo line. Thank you very much. The whiteboard Bible study is held in the Camellia Room from 11 o'clock to 11:45. It's a video study covering the church and Jesus' return, and it is a six-week study. Hearts Grow, second and fourth Sundays. Children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship time. Parents are welcome. It's a fun Christian growth and worship experience for all ages, using the arts to connect us to the Creator. It's held in the Children's Church Room, the building next door to my right, your left. Ash Wednesday service is February the 22nd at 7 o'clock p.m. Parents' Night Out is this Friday, February the 24th, and it's game night. All ages are welcome, 6 o'clock p.m. until 8:30 p.m. downstairs in a Creamer Lounge. Free Saturday movies. Ticket to Paradise. A divorced couple teams up and travels to Bali to stop their daughter from making the same mistake they think they made 25 years ago. Sounds good. It's shown in Faith Theater 2. World Vision. Donate to World Vision here when you click on the site at our church. It's a 30-hour famine for 2023. Help our epic youth in our church transform their lives for the better. We may now stand for the call to worship. Whoever wants to be my disciple
must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.
For whoever wants to save their life will lose it.
But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it.
Please sing hymn 185, verses 1 through 3.
When morning gives the sky, my heart a waking cry, may Jesus Christ be praised. And like a walk and prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised. The night be comes as they, when from the heart we say, may Jesus Christ be praised. The powers of darkness flee, when his sweet chant they heed, may Jesus Christ be praised. Let all the earth around ring joyous with a sound, may Jesus Christ be praised. In heaven's eternal bliss, the lovely strain is this, may Jesus Christ be
standing. Please pass a peace with verbal greetings and a hand waving. Joys and concerns will follow. Hey, those that want to speak on Zoom, they may unmute. Thank you.
We
please
don't,
be seated.
We don't have any Zoom today.
What?
We don't have any Zoom today.
Oh,
yeah. It's okay. Disconnected. Yes.
I have the mic for people.
Testing.
I'll bring the mic if you'll raise your hand.
Maybe I will share with this good news that the oven that you just saw on the screen has been already purchased. It's in the kitchen. If you have heard of the brand, it's Viking. It's a really, really good brand. And if you still like to donate toward the purchase, you can. But it's already been purchased and paid for.
Amen. Also, I have a concern too. My neighbor, Rebecca, she still needs somebody to take care of her. They thought they had somebody, so if anybody's interested, please let me know.
I have two concerns. To continue to pray for my daughter. She has a family member for the last 6 months has been terminally critically ill, and it's been up and down. You know, they won't make it through the night, and that's why we weren't here last Sunday, and this person is still hanging on. I go, he's got a lot to live for, I guess. And then we have a very dear friend, Heather Kleeman, had surgery on her foot Friday. So if you'll remind her in prayer. And we have a Joy, Sophie had her 7th birthday yesterday and got to have a whole can of chicken.
And she's snuggled in her bed right now.
She didn't like the noise. 7 years
old. Happy 7th birthday, Sophie.
My niece texted me and let me know there's a lady called Melinda Prizing. She's a mother of 40 with 3 kids, and she just found out she has bladder cancer, so prayers for her. She still has 1 daughter in high school, so please pray for Melinda Prizing.
I'm Pat Shores. It's on the back of your bulletin this morning, prayers for my sister Allison and for her daughter Emily and the twin babies. Emily is home, all three, Emily and the babies all had COVID, and Emily is home, and the bigger baby, who is Bran, is home, but the little one is still in the hospital. Thank you.
Hi, I'd like to have prayers for a few of us this weekend that are going to be fasting for 30 hours for the 30-hour famine. We would really like to have your donations to help World Vision save the lives of children. But we'll be fasting for 30 hours starting Saturday morning and ending next Sunday at 2 o'clock. So there's only a few of the youth that are doing it with me. I would encourage all of you to fast as long as you can. Doesn't have to be the full 30 hours. I know some of us have medication that we have to take with food. So, but please keep us in prayer for opening our eyes and opening our hearts and opening our wallets. Thank you. You can make a donation by either writing a check to World Vision and putting it in the offering plate, or you can do it directly online.
And I think we want to pray for Doug, Jen Kirkpatrick's husband. I just heard that he's been dealing with this Alzheimer, and is in a really bad condition. So we want to pray for Doug and his wife and their family as well.
Shall we pray?
I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt, rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering, let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty, let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence. Lord Jesus, we always find refuge in your presence. We are so grateful that we have a place to go and hide ourselves under the safety of your rock. You are our salvation in time of trouble. Lord, this world is in turmoil.
our life is troubled, and we see so many lives being shattered. There are so many causes for our disappointment, discouragement, and we sometimes lose hope for the present and for the future. But, oh Lord, you are our everlasting hope. Regardless how hopeless our life circumstance would seem, we go to you and we always find hope and courage. So, Lord, we come to you, and we are so happy that we have this time away from all our troubles and be able to focus ourselves upon your presence, upon your power, upon the grace that you have for each and every one of us. So, Lord, we come to you with open hearts and ask you to mend our brokenness, empower us that we may receive courage and strength to deal with all different life circumstances, that we may overcome them all in your name and be victorious with your help. So, Lord, we once again acknowledge that you are our Savior, that you are our sustainer, that you are our provider. We may be weak, but you are the Almighty, and with you in our life, O Lord, we can overcome any difficulties that this life brings to us. That with your help, we will be victorious in the end. So we submit ourselves to your care. We bring our concerns for our loved ones and give them into your care. We bring all our prayers that we have for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our church, for this community, for this nation and the world, and ask you to continue to lead us on and be our God. So, Lord, as we join our prayers together, we commit ourselves once more into your care, praying that you continue to fulfill your good and perfect will in our lives. So now we join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Deb Davidson is going to do Young at Heart.
Today's story is Your Brave Song. Written by Ann Voskamp. Illustrated by Amy Grimes. Una Rainey stood on the front steps with her mama, looking out at a morning fog thick enough you could almost scoop it with a spoon. Una Rainey could barely see her hands in front of her face. She could barely see the tips of her boots. She could barely see her face in the puddles at her feet. She could barely see her way forward any which way at all. Before Una Rainey could even tuck her tiny hand into her mama's hand, her mama slipped down next to her and gently gathered her up into her lap. She wrapped her in a hug as warm as the sun that's always shining way above the fog and clouds. "You have big places to go and all kinds of big things ahead of you," her mama said. "You may feel small and not sure of the way at all." Mama murmured what Una Rainey was thinking. The way mamas can sometimes read your heart like an open storybook. "But right here inside of you?" Mama tapped on Una Rainey's chest like she was knocking on the door of her heart. "In here lives the biggest and greatest song, the one that makes you brave." As Una Rainey picked up her backpack and stepped off the porch into her big day of big things, her mama sang softly after her, and those words blew like a warming breeze all around Una Rainey. "Jesus loves you, makes you strong, in him you're brave and you belong." And that little one string of words made a path through the fog, and the gray soup of the clouds lifted. Suddenly, Una Rainey could see her way forward, one big brave step after another. With every puddle she leaped over, Una Rainey looked down and saw all of herself. And when you see who you really are, and you see how Jesus loves you just as you are, and how he loves you enough to change and grow how you are, that's when you can see how safe in his love you really are, no matter where you are. So she sang it with every big, brave leap. Jesus loves you, makes you strong. In him you're brave and you belong. But when it was time for Una Rainey to find a seat at lunch on her big day in a big new place, she couldn't find any place at a table just for her. She couldn't find a place with the big kids with all their big hair. She couldn't find a place with all the little kids and all their little toys. She couldn't find a place to squeeze in with any of the kids at all. But somewhere deep inside of Una Rainey, there was that place that had made space for the song that makes you brave. And that song, when she sang it strong and loud, made space for Una Rainey to stretch her arms open wide. Jesus loves you, makes you strong. In him you're brave and you belong. And that one little string of words pulled the happiest plan together. Una Rainey smiled her surest smile and flung her jacket down on the grass. And then she set out her nuts and her slices of apple and her cheese. And before long, the squirrels scampered round. The birds swooped down, the ducks sauntered up, and a little kid and a big kid and a kid just Una Rainey's size sat down beside her. And Una Rainey found out that there is always a place that wants you if you're brave enough to make that space by making space in your world for them to be with you. So Una Rainey passed around her cookies and sang to every single person gathered around, only this time she wasn't singing alone. She smiled big and helped everyone learn the words themselves, so they all sang along. Jesus loves you, makes you strong. In him you're brave and you belong. And when Una Rainey crawled into bed that night, after her big day in a big new place, she pulled the covers up close and felt how her blankets wrapped around her felt like the longest hug. She knew there would be days when the hard winds would blow her backward. There would be days when she would step in puddles up to her knees. There would be days when the special, tender parts of her one brave heart would get hurt. But on those days, there was a bigger song within her that was louder than any lies, a song that was stronger than any sadness, and Una Rainey sang it back to the world every night like a gift. Jesus loves you, makes you strong. In him you're brave and you belong. And that one little string of words ties all the brave hearts to Jesus, who is love himself, and his whisper beats inside our hearts. You are chosen, not for what you do, but for who you are, for whose you are. Una Rainey looked out the window. All the fog had cleared, revealing an endless blanket of blinking stars, each one made by God, chosen by God, named by God, and those stars couldn't stop singing and twinkle dancing with the glory of it. Jesus loves you, makes you strong, in him you're brave and you belong. And the words ring all through the world, like a heavenly song that is from far beyond this world, the song that is the very heartbeat of love himself. It's always his perfect love for you, which goes endlessly on and on, which fills your heart with the very bravest song. The Lord your God is always with you. He celebrates and sings because of you, and he will refresh your life with his love, Zephaniah 3:17. The New International Version says, he will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Psalm 147:7 says, sing to the Lord with grateful praise, make music to our God. The simplest of truths, told through the sweetest songs, can change the world. So let's never stop singing praises. Amen.
Please, excuse me, please sing hymn 396, verses 1 through 3, O Jesus, I have promised.
O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side. The wonder from the pathway, if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me, the world is never near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw the nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accent clear and still, above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten more control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul.
And now we will do our scripture reading from Numbers 20. 1 through 13. The waters of Meribah, the Israelites, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month. The people stayed in Kadesh. Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and against Aaron. The people quarreled with Moses and said, would that we have died when our kindred died before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness for us and our livestock to die here? Then Moses and Aaron went away from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting. They fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and your brother Aaron, and command the rock before their eyes to yield its water. Thus, you shall bring water out of the rock for them. Thus, you shall provide drink for the congregation and their livestock. So Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he had commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered this assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Listen, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me to show my holiness before the eyes of the Israelites, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and through which he showed himself to be holy." Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Believe or not, I feel like the sanctuary is half empty without those who have come to join us via Zoom. But I am grateful that all these times, except at the beginning of the pandemic, we haven't had a lot of issues with the Zoom, with this technology, and I thank Deb and many of those who serve in the audio booths who have helped us worship together in the sanctuary and through the Zoom. And you may be wondering what has happened. And what I have gathered is that we upgraded the Zoom application. As you can hear clearly, we don't have any issues in the audio system we have in the sanctuary. It has to do with the Zoom application that we have recently updated. So we should be able to fix that hopefully before next Sunday. I pray that all of us here will hear the message from God. Many of you are familiar with the lectionary reading. Lectionary readings is something that so many churches use among the mainline denominational churches, and they follow the reading seasonally. So it covers all the major seasons, and then it covers all the gospel lessons, and it goes by the three-year cycle. And I, at the beginning of my ministry, I followed that, and somehow it did not work for me. And how I prepare my Sunday message every Sunday is through the meditation and prayer. And sometimes God speak to me in my heart and speak to me in many different ways. And I try to remain sensitive to the voice and prepare the message. So I pray that that you will hear the message that God has given to me, and I have experienced a lot of times. There are many reasons when God gives me specific message. And I can tell you before I begin my message this morning, if you'd like to know, I'm going to share my personal secret. I struggled with my calling when I was a teenager. I had this born-again experience as a teenager, and then I soon got a call into the ministry, which was a really tough struggle. And I gave up, and I followed the path that God called me to. But for the last 40 years, and now this year is going to be my 41st year, a lot of times I struggle, and the struggle has to do with my own ego. Okay? It has taken, would you like to know, it has taken 40 years to give up my ego. I really mean it. I really mean it. And that's how I prepare this message. And I pray that it'll be an inspiration for all of you as well. A newly elected politician from California was visiting Washington, D.C. to get acquainted, to help the newbie understand the complicated operation of politics, how he could be the voice of the people he represented, and wisely avoid corruption. One of the ranking senators invited him to his home by the Potomac River. The senator knew that a quick visit would not be enough to cover the vast information. Upon arrival, the senator showed the honored guests around his house. As they stood looking out over the river, the senator, to his delight, noticed an object in the river, and he immediately thought that he could use it to explain Washington's politics to the fledgling politician comprehensively. What he saw was an old, rotten, deteriorating log floating by on the river. The old timer said, "This city is like that log out there." The inexperienced politician asked, "How's that?" The senator replied, "Well, there are probably over 100,000 grubs, ants, bugs, and critters on that old log as it floats down the river. Just imagine every one of them think that he's steering it." This humor about the politics in Washington, D.C. also speaks of how we run our life. We are the master of our life. We choose our path and build our life according to our preferences and desires. When in fact, there is a greater force than our personal drive which determines the course of our earthly journey. And we do not give proper recognition to this greater force out of ignorance and often collide with it. What is this greater force which rules over our life? God, our Creator, of course. The inner struggle between God's will and the human ego has been the greatest and the longest battle since the time of Adam and Eve. Behind the disobedience of Adam and Eve to God's command was their big ego, and everyone inherited this self-centeredness from those human ancestors. I mean, people think about, well, you know, that's just a lesson. Forget about it. Who would believe in that, you know, tale in this day and age? Well, think about this reality. Are we not dealing with this self-centeredness today and all throughout our lives? We are not the only one. Our ancestors, everyone who have existed on the face of the earth has dealt with the same issue. And that's the biblical truth that doesn't change. Moses was not an exception. Moses was born in Egypt, where every Israelite served Pharaoh as an enslaved person. He escaped the fate of being slaughtered as a male Hebrew boy and enjoyed living in the enemy's palace of his people until the age of 40. Growing up as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, Moses had a chance to become a Pharaoh. But Moses did not assimilate himself to be an Egyptian in spite of his upbringing and the privileged life in that environment. He had a clear sense of identity as a Hebrew. It was why he could not tolerate one of the Hebrew slaves being bitten by an Egyptian slave driver. He ended up killing that Egyptian and ran from the palace. His unique environment could have weakened his Hebrew identity. Contrastly, it contributed to his developing a solid identity as a Hebrew. Supposedly much stronger identity than an average Hebrew male had. Having a clear sense of identity is healthy, but it inevitably contributes to cultivating a big ego, which Moses demonstrated when God provided water out of the rock. The scripture said that this event happened during the first month, possibly the first month after the Exodus. The people of Israel just got liberated and went into the desert. Their original course was to traverse the desert straight to the Jordan River and enter the Promised Land. It took them only 11 days to reach the shore of the Jordan River. The problem was 12 spy explorers scouted the land, and 10 of them became fearful of the residents of Canaan, except Joshua and Caleb. Soon the whole assembly joined 10 explorers and refused to cross the Jordan River. What we see here is the big ego of the group in conflict with God's plan and God's will. It wasn't just an individual, but the whole assembly had that issue. After that, they had a few alternatives. Either they go back to Egypt or live in the desert. And either option was bad. During the first months, they had to face the harsh desert condition and began complaining about the lack of drinking water. Moses' frustration with his people's constant complaints and disbelief ever since the Exodus may be understandable. But his big ego crossed the boundary he should have maintained as God's representative. How so? God gave Moses a specific direction on how to bring water out of the rock. God said, command the rock. In other words, speak to the rock, and it will pour out its water. Gathering people in front of the rock, Moses cried out, "You rebels, must we bring water out of the rock?" Moses used the word "we," as if it was Moses and Aaron who could produce water out of the rock, not God. Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice. Moses made very grave mistakes here. He did not obey to speak to the rock, but made an exaggerated gesture, a body language, by raising his arm high and banging the rock not once, but twice. His whole body language and his word intended clearly that it was not God, but Moses who had the power to bring water out of the rock. It was why God became very upset. He did not like how Moses took God's glory upon himself. And God said to him, "You did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites." Moses' big ego collided with God, And as a punishment, God prohibited Moses from entering the promised land, even after Moses had spent 40 years leading his people in the desert. This very issue of a big ego is commonly shared with everyone. So many heroes of faith in the Bible, like Moses, were not exceptions. Humans have fought a myriad of wars until today, but the greatest war and the longest war is the self-inflicted war inside of everyone. People engage in spiritual warfare between their strong ego and the divine will. This is not just a theological concept, but an actual war people fight daily. Cherokee Indians have a story related to this human nature. One evening, an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside of us all. It's a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." He continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too. The grandson thought about it for a minute, then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." We tend to choose to feed and nurture the wolf of self-centeredness, which disobeys God's will. Putting a rein on our big ego and giving the steering wheel to God are the battle we often lose. And you know an excellent example today, and that is Putin. This coming Thursday, the 24th, is the day that marks 1 year anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russians have inflicted Ukraine with so much needless pain and horrors of war. Russian military suffers so much as well. Forbes reported on February 7th that 270,000 Russians had been killed, wounded, or gone missing in the first 11 months of the war. According to the Wall Street Journal that came out yesterday, it says Putin conscripted about 300,000 soldiers. Most of them did not get adequate training, but were sent to battlefront without proper equipment and gear. It is why there is a sharp increase in casualties among Russian soldiers. The New York Post quoted Mark Milley, the Joint Chief of Staff. He told reporters following a meeting with NATO defense ministers in Brussels this past Tuesday that Russia has already lost its barbaric war of aggression in Ukraine. Putin thought that he could defeat Ukraine quickly, fracture the NATO alliance, and act with impunity. He was wrong. Russia is now a global pariah. Russia has lost. They've lost strategically, operationally, and tactically, and they are paying an enormous price on the battlefield. Then why does Putin not end the war in spite of these huge losses? only because of his personal agenda. He feels now that his political position is in jeopardy and fears his demise if he loses the war. At the heart of this horrifying war is Putin's big ego, one person's big ego, to safeguard his selfish ambition. A human's big ego is hard to tame and tend to resist God's will. Moses was a great hero. He represented a mighty hand of God to eliminate over four centuries old slavery. He performed many miracles by God's power. He was in close communion with God. He was the recipient of the Ten Commandments, not once, but twice. But he lacked one critical qualification to control his big ego and could not enter the promised land. This reminds us of what Jesus taught. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Self-denial and submitting ego to God's control is the first step of faith. The first step of faith. The Apostle Paul applied self-denial as the death of the ego and said in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. As was in the case of Moses, a big ego hampers believers from walking on their faith journey. It robs us peace and causes restlessness. St. Augustine, in his confession, says, You have made us for yourself, O Lord. Our heart is restless until it rests in you. May we be a victor of the inner battle and find rest by completely surrendering our ego to our Savior Jesus and his full control. Amen.
We will start our worship through giving. God loves a cheerful giver. Offerings also may be mailed to the church office.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for all that you have done for us, your endless goodness of your mercy, your constant supply to meet our need. And we always stand before your cross, and we are forever grateful for what you did in Calvary. So we give you this offering as a token of our thankfulness from our lives, and we ask you to receive it, bless it, and that it may be used to extend your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please sing hymn number 399, verses 1 through 3.
My life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in Christ's praise. Take my hand and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, thou as only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne. Take my love and offer at thy feet his treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee.
Let us pray. Lord, you loved us so much, you gave up your everything without withholding anything back for our salvation. So, Lord, we recommit ourselves to your will by giving up our will, our plan, and our big ego. Accept us and use us as the instrument of your kingdom, and send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know
he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there watching from above. Oh, now in peace, faith, and love. Amen. Amen.